refuge for my soul, my weary soul. I was needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Now neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. Refuge for my soul, my weary soul, and I was needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, where could I go? Tell me, where could I go? Seeking refuge for my soul, my weary soul, and I'm needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in service again together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And just wanted to announce, Lord willing, we'll be having our men's meeting Thursday, June 15th. At 7:30 in the evening. That'll be for the brothers that want to meet here. We'll be meeting in the basement in the fellowship area. So that'll be a men's meeting Thursday, June 15th at 7:30, just to get together and have a kind of a Bible study and time of worship together. We got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this evening. Brother Randy Evans and his family, they're going to be traveling tomorrow. I want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. And Sister Tina Bryant, she's in some pain tonight. I want to remember her in prayer. And Brother Layton, he's not feeling well this evening. I want to remember him in prayer. And Brother Gabe Eplin, remember him in prayer. He had had some dental work today and kind of had a reaction from that. So I want to remember him in prayer tonight. How many have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. Know the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege it is to be here tonight, Lord. Lord, when we go for a little trip away, Lord, how our heart longs to be here. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give us this little place, Lord, that we can come to, a little refuge, Lord, that we can run to, where the rock is. Lord, you're the rock of our foundation, Lord. And Father, we look to you tonight, Lord. We ask for those traveling mercies, Lord, that, Lord, there's many brothers and sisters, Lord, that are on the road. We ask your hand of mercy upon them, Lord. And Father, those that are be sick in body, Lord, that's nothing to you. Lord, you paid for it on Calvary. And Father, we stand upon that for the healing of our brothers and sisters, Lord, that are sick and afflicted, Lord. And Lord, we stand here tonight, Lord, your sheep of this fold, asking, Lord, for sheep food. And Father, you provided it, Lord. You sent your prophet in this day, Lord, to provide that food for us and stored it up, Lord. And Father, you have ministers, Lord, Lord, that feels the need of the people, Lord, and has that yearning in their heart, Lord, that burning fire, that flame of fire you put in their hearts, Lord, to bring forth that word to us in this day. Father, we thank you for those men that are stand upon this word in this hour. Father, we thank you for this little time to gather together around your word. Father, we ask you, Lord, to come among us. Do what's needed in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Sister Ruth is going to come and sing a special for us. He gave me a light one day. Gave me his light. This is not in the book, but I think everybody knows it. Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? We'll see Jesus in that land. We'll see Jesus in that land. We'll see Jesus in that land where I'm bound. We'll see Jesus in that land. We'll see Jesus in that land. We'll see Jesus in that land where I'm bound. Will there be no dying in that land? Be no dying in that land. Be no dying in that land where I'm bound. Oh, there be no dying in that land. Be no dying in that land. Be no dying in that land where I'm bound. Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go? To that, brothers will come to that bound. Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? I'm going to see Jesus in that land. Going to see Jesus in that land. I'm going to see Jesus in that land where I'm bound. Jesus in that land, gonna see Jesus in that land where I'm bound. And there be no dying in that land, be no dying in that land, be no dying in that land where I'm bound. go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Oh, where I'm bound. Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? One more time. Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Well, don't you? I do. I'm ready to get out of here. Trying to remember who it was the other day. Somebody come up to me and said, "Brother Hoover, Brother Charlie Roberson. We saw him at the restaurant the other day." He comes up to me and shakes my hand. He goes, "I'm just ready to go home, Brother Hoover. I'm tired of this place." Amen. That's how I feel. Let's stand, sing page 311 as we get ready for the word. I want to go over there because everybody's going to be happy over there. You meet some folks over here, you don't want what they got. But over there, everybody's happy. All right. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care, and the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. For us to bear, all the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there.
And who kept us by His grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. Oh, we will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Sing our God's praises, everybody. Oh, why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand tonight?
Let me sing this tonight. Oh, where do I go when there's nobody left to turn to? Who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know He's able. I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. I run to the stone that the builders rejected. I run into the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. Oh, when I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where can I hide? Oh, till my storms have all passed over, who can I run to? Oh, when the winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge in these times of great tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. Is that where you go to? Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. Run to the stone that the builders rejected. Run into the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where can I hide? Till my storms have all passed over, who can I run to?
when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge? Oh, in these times of tribulation, when my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. One more time together. I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected, to the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I'll stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to, oh, let's sing it again. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. I run to the stone that the builders rejected, to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around, it's sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. He's a present help in times of trouble. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to begin with. St. Paul speaking here, he says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Amen. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Lion slayers, giant slayers, people that stood and faced the fire and faced the lions and faced the torture, without us, they should not be made perfect. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again, Lord, we just ask you to take complete charge of this service from the least to the greatest. Lord, may you be in every aspect of the service tonight. Lord, move in a special way, Lord, as you see fit. Lord, for each one that's present here tonight, Lord, may you just encourage, may you strengthen. Lord, may you give us joy. Lord, even in the midst of trials, Lord, help us not to lose the joy of our salvation. May you give us peace. May you give us victory, Lord. Lord, we just need to hear from you again tonight, Lord. We need strength and we need encouragement, Lord. I ask that you'd be with each one here that's present and those that wanted to be but couldn't because of distance or sickness, Lord, and just ask that you would just keep your guiding hand upon each one, Lord. Protect us, keep us safe. Lord, may you be in every aspect of this service tonight, Lord. Help me, Lord, as I speak,
Help me to yield completely to you. Whatever you would have me to say, Lord, may I say it. Whatever you would not desire that I say, Lord, help me just to stop, Lord, and not say anything that would be unpleasing to you. Lord, every song that is sang, every word that's spoken, may it be pleasing to you and in your perfect will, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. We've been for many months now, almost a year, we've been on this topic of speak the word. And we've been looking the last few weeks at Brother Branham's ministry. We started off in the beginning in Genesis with the creation. We moved down to different characters of the Bible. We've been looking at Brother Branham's ministry the last few weeks. And I began to look at different things and different stories that we could share and things that, mighty things that was done through his ministry. It was God that was doing the work, doing the miracles. But he was using a prophet in this age to work through. He's always had somebody that he can work through. In every age, no matter how dark it got, no matter how small in the minority that the believer was, there's always been somebody that he could get his hand on and use and work through. And that's how we find God works. And in this age, it was no different. He found a man that he could use. Brother Branham didn't pick the job, but God picked him. Whatever God called you to do, maybe you ran from it, maybe you hid from it, maybe it wasn't what you wanted to do, but you didn't pick the job, God picked you. Many times God's choosing is different than what we would think. We would think, oh my, if I was going to choose somebody, I wouldn't have chose Paul. Here he was. He was going about persecuting the people and all these different things. He wouldn't have even been on our top 100 list of who might have been the messenger of the age until he got converted. But God knew exactly what he needed, what type of personality that he needed, what type of ministry that he needed. And he had called and ordained him and predestinated him before the foundation of the world. It didn't matter how much it looked like he wasn't the man for the job. It mattered what God thought. Amen. It doesn't matter sometimes what people say about us. It doesn't even matter what you think about yourself. It matters what God says about it.
That's right.
What God said about it.
Amen.
So I began to look at some of these things. I thought, my, we could be on this for months and years just on the, Brother Branham's ministry, different healings and miracles and things. And I began to think about what Paul said, how that, what should I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Barak and Samson and the different ones. And I began to think, what could I say more? For time would fail to tell me of eyes being formed in empty sockets, and it would fail to tell me to take it down and break it down. All the stories and testimonies of 7 truckloads of wheelchairs and crutches, and to tell of little Georgie Carter. There she was, crippled for 9.5 years, and laid on a bed and couldn't get up and move, and they had to pick her up and change the sheets underneath her there, and she laid there and rubbed the poster board just completely raw of the paint. There she was just laying day and night. But one day a prophet goes down into a field and begins to pray, and a vision comes and speaks to him and says, go by the way of Carter's. Amen. Time would fail to tell me of the caribou and the silver-tipped grizzly and how it had been prophesied before, exactly the measurements of the antlers and where this type of animal would be, even though there was no type of animal in that country. And even coming down the hill, Brother Bud Southwick could look down the hill and see that there was no huge silver-tipped grizzly there to be found. He was a hunter. He was a woodsman. He was a trapper. He had a keen eye for these type of things. He said, Brother Branham, I can see clear to the camp. There's no animal that size, but before they got there, it was there. Now, I don't know where it came from or how it came from. As far as I'm concerned, God could have picked it right up out of the dust there. You say, oh my, that's too supernatural for me. Then you don't believe the way we got here the way that I do, because the way I see it, God spoke and created some dust and formed a man out of it and pulled him up out of the dust. If he can create a man, I believe he can create a bear. I believe he could create a ram in the days of Abraham, where there was no ram, but Abraham had need of a ram, so he didn't have to sacrifice his only begotten son. And there he stood, and God provided him a ram. He's still that type of God tonight. Time would fail for me to tell you of Congressman Upshaw, who was a crippled from an early age. He fell off of a hay wagon and broke his back, and they had to bore holes in the floor for people to walk on so the vibrations didn't hurt his back. And he was in a wheelchair for most of his life. And here up in his 80s, he walks into his service. He's been a crippled since he was a young man. You would have thought, my, why wouldn't God heal him when he was a nice young man, when he was running for president and things, that God could have used him in that way. And he was a congressman, and he had run against alcohol
all, and he wasn't voted in because of that, but he slips into a meeting one night, and a prophet of God steps out to the platform and begins to preach, and he said, I see a man that he's crippled, and he said, I see him, he's wearing a brown pinstripe suit, and he goes walking, carrying a little hat, and he said, is there somebody here like that tonight? He didn't know who Congressman Upshaw was, and they ran an extension mic out, and it was the congressman that he saw, and he said, thus saith the Lord, this man had been crippled since he was about 18 years old. Now he's in his 80s, 86, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, and he's going to be healed now. Why wouldn't God do it earlier? Why would God let a blind man sit there in the days of Jesus? And here he was, a grown man born without eyeballs in his sockets, and here he stands, and they said, there's never been a man that's been born blind like this that's ever seen. And Jesus walks by, and he takes some mud, and he rubs it together and rubs it in the man's eyes, and he goes, and the eyeballs are formed correctly, and he's able to see. And they said, oh, this man's a sinner. He said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. All I know is where I once couldn't see, now I can see. The disciples said, who sinned, this man or was it his parents? You know, they wanted to find somebody to blame. And he said, neither. It was so that God could be glorified. Amen. Why would Congressman Upshaw sit in a wheelchair for almost 70 years of his life? Because God wanted to be glorified. Time would fail of me to tell, go into details of a little boy in India that had a leg that was 6 inches shorter than the other one. And he had a shoe that was built up on a platform. And he was walking on crutches and the leg was paralyzed. And after prayer, you can see here, I'll see if it'll let me zoom it in. You see how much the shoes had to be built up to be able to walk normally with the other one. He had a 6-inch platform there on it. But you see him after prayer there in South Africa, his leg is exactly the same length as the other leg beside him. Amen. God did these things in our age. Amen. Florence Nightingale, not the Florence Nightingale that was with the Red Cross, but I believe it was her granddaughter or an extended niece or something like that. She got down to 40-something pounds, just a skeleton of a person, and she was praying and crying that Brother Branham would come and pray for her. And so finally he said, Lord, if you'll heal her, then I'll know that I'm supposed to go to Durban, South Africa. And as they were flying through, they stopped and they prayed for her there. And you see her a few months later, perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. Amen. You know, we see some of these before and afters, you know, of people after they lost weight and things. But here's one of somebody that gained weight before and after. Dying. Almost completely a skeleton, but God rich in mercy. Amen. Time would fail me to tell of waterhead babies. It's actually, you know, they called them waterhead babies in the 50s, but it's a disease that's called hydrocephalus. And here's a picture of a little baby that's got hydrocephalus. You see how its head is swollen because it's got water on the brain. And babies like this would come into the service, and Brother Branham would come up and have them come up and carry them up for prayer. And night after night, he would have them in the meetings. He would tell the mothers, he said, you take a string and tie it around the baby's head and you bring it back tomorrow night. And I want to see that string. And they'd bring it back and it'd be 6 inches smaller. And they'd bring it back the next night and it'd be so many more inches shorter, and on and on and on like that until the baby was perfectly normal. That's what God did in this age. Amen. A lot of these people making fun and talking against it, I want to see one miracle that they've done. I want to see one person that they've really truly led to Christ and that's got filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see one sign and wonder following their ministry. All they've got is bitterness and hatred and words. But this prophet of God had more than just words. He was like, in the Bible it said Jesus wasn't just a man of words, but he was a man of deeds. Mighty in works and deeds. Amen. God was backing up this ministry because it wasn't Brother Branham in the first place. It was God that was doing the works. He just chose a vessel to use. Can you imagine going into services like this and seeing babies like this? I believe, Brother Hoover, what's the brother up in Ohio that has the camp meetings that you used to go help with? Brother Sievert, his testimony was that his father was in a meeting like this. And, you know, some of the defectors made fun and said, well, you know, Brother Branham said that man that you know, came down there and had something wrote wrong on his prayer card just to make fun. He died over here. And then he said, you know, he was still alive 6 months later, but in the same condition. They did all these different things. I wonder if that'd be kind of like in the Gospels there when Jesus came down through by the gate of Jericho. And one gospel said that there was one blind man by the name of Bartimaeus, and the other gospel said there were two blind men. Wonder if one of the apostles lied about that. Or I wonder if one didn't just give all of the details. Or I wonder if one maybe was telling about one circumstance and one telling about another situation that is the exact same story. I'm sure there were many blind people that was healed in the days of Jesus under similar circumstances, just as there were many similar circumstances in this ministry that stretched over thousands of meetings and prayer lines and different things. But regardless, Brother Sievert said that his dad was there in the meeting and a waterhead baby had been brought forth and they had watched it in the service night after night. The head had got smaller and smaller and smaller until it was a normal size, and they brought the baby up to the platform and was rejoicing, and there were some men up in the balcony there, and a man came down in the prayer line and he had written on his prayer card something that he didn't have. You can't fool God. You say, oh my, you're trying to lift up Brother Branham. No more than the Bible is trying to lift up St. Paul and St. Peter, rather, when Ananias and Sapphira went in there and they told a lie and they was exposed, said, don't you fear to lie to the Holy Spirit? That same God's still alive today. Amen. These type of things shouldn't shock us. And he had the wrong things. He had a bunch of things written on his prayer card that he didn't have. Brother Branham said, you do have them now. He said, I see up there in the balcony, you and that lady in the checkered dress and the other man there, you got together at a dinner table last night and planned to do this to deceive the Holy Spirit. But you can't deceive the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Oh my, they boast and they talk now, but if things like that, a few more things like that were taking place, I wonder how loud their accusations would be. You know, Brother Ram said, the days of Ananias and Sapphira will return to the church before we go home. Time would fail for me to share all the details of the dead baby in Mexico, or the little boy in Finland, or Brother Way, or Hattie Waldrop, who died of cancer of the heart in the prayer line before she even got to Brother Branham, but was healed and raised from the dead. Of Lige Perry that hemorrhaged to death, and Brother Branham went and did like Elijah and laid his body on top of his body, and he said years later he was working for the Pennsylvania Railroad. Time would fail to tell of a woman named Mary in Connecticut that died in the service. And Brother Billy tells the testimony, but it's on tape as well. Brother Branham stood there and tried to get Brother Billy Paul to go down and lay hands on the lady. And he didn't want to go touch that dead woman. So he said, he just stepped to the edge of the platform. He said, Mary, God gave him her name. He said, Mary, and a woman that was dead stood up and said, yes, what do you need, Brother Branham? Time would fail to tell of Brother Earl Martin's little baby that had died, and he crawled up beside Brother Branham's bed at a hotel room begging him to pray, and the life came back in the baby. Of a Lutheran man, I forget the name of the town that was in, but he was 70 or 80 years old and died in the service, and God gave Brother Branham his name and he came back. Of a dead baby in California, Brother Branham says, in things that are to be in Rialto, California, 1965, I believe it is, or events made clear by prophecy, one of the two. He said that the last time he was there was in a tent meeting, and there was a couple that had drove all night through the night with the dead baby to get there, and they pulled up outside of the tent and it was raining, and they handed this little dead baby out the window to Brother Branham. He began to pray over the child and life came back into its body. They had drove all night with this little dead baby. It was stiff and rigor mortis had set in and all hopes was gone. But when Jesus Christ is involved, there's never a time when all hope is gone. They thought all hope was gone when Lazarus had been dead 4 days, but hope was just coming down the road. The woman in Durban, South Africa that Brother Branham talks about, that the mayor, Sidney Smith, knew this woman, and she died, and he called and asked Brother Branham to pray for her, and life came back into her body. These things were recorded in newspapers and things in Durban, South Africa. This wasn't done in a corner somewhere, but these things went around the world. Amen. I believe the God that could heal Lazarus, that could heal the widow of Nain's son, that could heal dead ones down through the ages, I believe he's just still as much God tonight as he ever was. Brother Ram says in Love in 1957, he says, now there's something about a man that's a part of God. He's a fallen race. He's a fallen son. And now in one sense of the word, a man in himself is a creator. A miniature creator. Now he cannot actually create because God does that. You see, it's not the man that actually does the work. It's God that does the work. But yet man, he says, is a miniature creator. Now, he cannot actually create because God does that. But he can take things that God has made and the wood that God growed and build a building out of it. He can take the steel that God created and do something else with it. He can take the electricity that God sends in the air and make it light up a building. That's a man. You think about the energy and the things that man has harnessed to even make atomic bombs and things like that. He's an amateur creator. Why? He was made in the image of God. In fact, God came down and disrupted our language. There was a time when we all spoke the same language, but at the Tower of Babel, they got together and began to combine their forces, and they thought they were going to outsmart God, and he came down and confused the language of the people, and they had begun to get so progressive. You think about how advanced science is today. Imagine if we all spoke the same language, what we could do. God came down and confused the language, but man, being an amateur creator, for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, you could look and there wasn't a whole lot of change. You know, the people back in Jesus's day, they rode with a wagon and a mule pulling it, or a horse or an ox or something like that. And you fast forward 1800 years and they were still getting around with transportation like that. But in this last age, technology began to speed up, and I believe you take whatever you want. You don't have to believe it that way. But I believe it was because there was a message that was being produced that had to be more than just contained in a certain little area, like it was in the days of Luther, or in the days of Paul, or in the days of Jesus. But there was going to be a worldwide revival and calling forth of a bride of Jesus Christ, not just from Jeffersonville, not just from New Albany, but around the globe, from the Congo, from Zimbabwe, from Asia, from Europe. From all around, God was calling forth a bride and setting his people free. And technology begins to advance in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, right before God brings a prophet on the scene. And man, with all of his intellect and all these things, yet it sat dormant. And there were no telephones. There was no harnessing of electricity. The only electricity that they knew about was that lightning would strike their barn and burn it down, or strike their home, and they'd have to run and grab a baby and get it out of the house before it burnt down. That was all they knew about electricity, was lightning. But one day a man began to get a key and put it on a kite, and he began to run around. He began to say, "I got it, I got it." Brother Bram said he didn't know what he had. All he knew was he had it. He had begun to harness something that he didn't know what to do with. But as time went on, men began to recognize ways that they could harness this and use it for their own use. They recognized that if you put a lightning rod up on the top of a building, you could run that current down and it wouldn't burn down the building, but they could redirect the energy of that. And they began to be advanced. They began to create planes and automobiles, and transportation began to rapidly evolve. And on the old horse and buggy, it would have been a lot harder for Brother Branham to go around to places like Finland and Alaska and places like that. He went down into Durban, South Africa. If he had to wait on an old steamboat or something, it would have taken him many lifetimes to be able to do as much traveling and spread the word as much as he did. But because of the advancement of technology, many times, you know, we'll accept that the tape recorder was created for this message, but I want to tell you there was a lot more than the tape recorder that was being predestinated by God so that this message could go around the world. It was a lot more than when Thomas Edison would sit down and he would perfect the phonograph. That was just the start of it. But then there came automobiles, and there came rubber tires, and there came airplanes. And even Dwight Eisenhower, when he was in office, he began to try to decide how best to spend the country's money after the time of World War II. And he decided the best investment that he could make would be to invest it in the national highways, to be able to expand better roads for transportation so that they could haul military equipment back and forth. But I want to tell you, it was a lot more than military equipment that was traveling back and forth across these newly made roads into areas where revival was breaking forth and the healing ministry was starting to go forth. And men like Oral Roberts, men like Jack Coe and different ones, their ministries began to span off of that. And because of it, it went around the world. T.L. Osborne and different ones. Now they had a way. Now they had an opportunity and the technology and the equipment to be able to take things and be able to send it around the world by satellite, over radio and over television. And their ministries rocked the country and rocked the world, rocked the nations. And it was a time of revival, the people coming out of all this fear and things like that from the time of war. And even the results of it is still seen in families around where, you know, many of them, where did you hear about the gospel? It was in a camp meeting back in the 40s or the 50s under Jack Cole or Oral Roberts or Brother Branham or Billy Graham. what was it? It was a time of revival because there was had to be a planting of the seed to go forth, but yet there would be a harvest in the last day when the wheat would be divided from the tares. He goes on to say in a super sign in 1961, what does that? Because inside of him, he is an amateur creator. He cannot create, but he can take something that already has been created and almost make another creation out of it. Man, in his intelligent design that God made him. You won't see a chimpanzee or an orangutan or a gorilla going out and assembling a car somewhere or designing a blueprint for an airplane. But man is on a higher level that God placed him on to where his mental capacity. Why? Because he had a soul down on the inside of him that he could reason and he could hear from eternity and he could be inspired. Even men that absolutely weren't Christians and didn't even name the name of Christ, yet they could receive an anointing and an inspiration to go forth and create things that would be used in the hand of God. Now I know there's ministers that have called the internet the Antichrist and the computers the Antichrist and any type of technology, and I understand, you know, that just because I preach with one of these, there's a lot of message churches that wouldn't even let me preach in their pulpit. But I tell them, you know, well, if we want to really do away with technology, then you should throw away your Bible and go back to a scroll, because it took a printing press to be able to get you that far. So if we're going to do away with technology, let's just go back to the handwritten scroll. The problem is they just have a limit of what they want to use for technology, because they say, oh my, well, Satan uses this and Satan uses that. Yeah, the same printing press, the same model, the same ink, the same everything that can print your Bible can also print a Playboy magazine. But that doesn't mean I'm never going to read a Bible, because the same type of model of printing press could be used for something evil. These same monitors that we use for quotes and to play the films and things could be used in somebody else's home for something filthy, but we can use it for something to where it's a blessing for you, so that you can sit and read and absorb what I'm saying, so that it retains better, and so that you can make sure that what I'm reading down here is what he actually said. It can be used for a blessing. The internet can be a curse. It has been a curse to many. It can be a blessing to spread the message into lands and areas where you can't ship a tape or a book. And people, because of communist countries and things, they can't get access in that way to take large shipments and things through. But they can get them an SD card. Somebody walks in with it in their pockets and put it in a computer or a cell phone. Or they can get it on the internet and read it and listen to it and hear it in a faster and quicker ways than they were ever able to produce it. Why? Because the same technology that Satan tries to pervert is something that God is trying to use to get the word into the hands of the people.
Amen.
Satan always perverts what God does. I don't believe that Steve Jobs was anointed to make an iPod or an iPhone so that people could sit around and listen to rap music and heavy metal music. I don't believe that his inspiration for that was he was anointed to design that so that people could just sit there and listen to whatever type of filth they wanted. But I believe it was created and invented so that the bride of Jesus Christ could have the message in their pockets.
Amen.
They could go and somebody say, oh, you know, Brother Branham didn't say that, and say, oh, yes, he did. You know, Brother Layton talks about the years ago when, you know, they first got the reel-to-reels and things. You know, they would take the reel-to-reel case and write on the back some of the highlights of what he was talking about, some of the stories and the doctrines and things that he recommended and referred to. And they would write down the little time number on the side there. But depending on the machine you were playing it on or exactly how the reel was wound, it might not be exactly that spot when you wound it back through. And they had a hard time, you know, over doctrine and things like that. And people would put out a quote book, but it would be their version of what they wanted to get across, to not all that he said. I'm glad that we can type it in and I can say this is what he said.
All right.
I don't think we should use that as a crutch to be lazy, but I thank God that we have it. I thank God that technology has advanced that much. When divine love is projected, 1957, Brother Hoover kind of touched on this a little bit ago, didn't know what I was preaching on, but he said, did you ever see people that you just love to be in their presence? There's just something about them that just radiates, that you just love to talk to them. And other people who are nice people, yet we don't say this unkindly, but you just can't hardly stay around them. Now, you think about whoever it is that this quote reminds you of, and then you go pray for that person. Somebody, you just can't hardly stay around them. There's something about them. Oh, no doubt they're good people. But just something about it, it's like, you know, rubbing sandpaper together or scraping a fork against a plate, and you and them just don't, it's like nails on a chalkboard. And, you know, the nails are okay and the chalkboard are okay, but you get them together and it's going to be a mess. There's brothers and sisters like that right around this message. Maybe good brothers. Maybe they could get along with somebody else. They just can't get along with me because my personality and their personality, it doesn't go together. That's all right. That doesn't mean they're lost or that I'm lost. Amen. But there's something about it. He said there's a certain type of people that the love that they have, it creates an atmosphere around them. Now, Brother Lee has been waiting anxiously for months for me to get in this, and we're trying to kind of transition over into the bride tonight and looking at this. So you can stop biting your fingers, Brother Lee. We're here. We have arrived. For the next few weeks, with the help of the Lord, we'll be looking at the bride, you know, the speaking of the word and things like that. But as looking at this as amateur creators, the first thing that I want to look at, that you don't have to be a prophet, you don't have to be a priest, you don't have to be a king, you don't have to be a deacon, you don't have to be a trustee, you don't have to be some super spiritual something, but you can create something around you that will absolutely change your circumstances. It can change your home, it can change your job, it can change the world that you live around, it can change your neighborhood, it can change the church for the positive or the negative. Any of these things is you can create an atmosphere. Amen. We're amateur creators and we think, oh my, I wish I could go create myself a huge home or my own planet or my own island to live in. Why don't we start off small tonight and look at something that we can create without a whole lot of effort if you just be prayerful about it, if you just have some love of God in your heart. Right. You can create this very easily. He says it's because of the atmosphere that you create. For as a son of God, you as a son of God are a miniature creator because you are a part of God.
Amen.
Now, he begins to talk, and when divine love is projected, again, 1957, he says, in our own home, he says, and try this at your home. I like that. He didn't just limit it to his home. He's encouraging us, try this at your home. He begins to tell about how, he said, oh my, if there's any home that's an upset home, it's the Branham home. And he talked about how he would be gone, come back in from meetings, and there would be a line of sick people waiting down the driveway to pray for, have him pray for them and different things. And he'd go in, the wife and the children would be upset and nervous. And there might be somebody sitting there saying, oh, I've got thus saith the Lord, if you don't come to this meeting, God's going to kill your wife. And thus saith the Lord, if you don't do this, then you're out of the will of God and all these things. Different people, no doubt with good intentions. But I believe if God was going to speak something to them, he would have went directly to the source, because he was a prophet of God after all. And there they would sit and have all these type of ideas and things and back and forth, and he would walk into this chaos and his wife and his children nervous and upset. And he said he walked into the home that day and his children were fighting over blocks, and oh my, they were screaming and hollering. His wife was there just a mess, frazzled and wore out from watching the children, and the dishes hadn't been done, the children hadn't been fed. And most of you brothers would have walked in and said, well, goodness gracious, what have you been doing all day? Here I've been out working a job and trying to provide. What have you been doing all day? Oh, I hope I'm preaching to somebody tonight. But he walks in and he looks, and instead of making the atmosphere worse, he begins to create an atmosphere.
Amen.
He walks into this atmosphere of chaos. He walks into this atmosphere of confusion and distress, and no doubt everything that could go wrong and went wrong that day. Maybe your Wednesday was something like that and you just barely made it to church, but you got here. So maybe God will help you and encourage you tonight. And he walks over and he gets her apron off the wall, and he doesn't throw it at her and say, get the dishes done, woman. He takes the apron. You brothers listen tonight, and you sisters amen real loud. He takes the apron and he puts it around him and ties it. Oh, most of you guys, you think, oh, I'm too macho for that. This man had the Elijah spirit on him. This was the man that would go out there and sleep in the wilderness and in caves and places I'd be scared to death to spend the night, and go out there and hunt and fish and do things for months. He was a man's man. But he humbles himself and he goes over and he picks up this apron and he puts it on. And he goes over and he begins to wash his wife's dishes. Oh my, here he is, a prophet of God. Couldn't he have been doing something more important? Couldn't he have been out praying for a sick baby or something? He was doing the most important thing that he could do. He was setting an example for his family. He was creating an atmosphere in his home. Brother Bam tells us, he said, many times it's not the great big things we're trying to do, it's the little things that we leave undone. I heard one minister brother say, he said, I tried to save the whole world and I lost my family because he was constantly gone, constantly going and doing and trying to help somebody else. And one of his sons ran off, wound up being a homosexual and different things, tore up his family and his wife left him. Why? He was a good brother. He was running his heart out, trying to do all that he could for the kingdom of God. But I wonder if he would have spent a little bit more time just trying to set an atmosphere at his home if things would have turned out different. Should be a lesson to some of us, not just ministers. But some of you brothers that spend so much time at ball games and on fishing banks and out here and there and up in tree stands and all over whatever your hobby is, that's all right. It's good to have a hobby. Don't faint tonight. I'm not like some of these message preachers. I'm not going to condemn you because of your hobby if it's not something that's worldly and filthy. It's good to have a hobby. Brother Branham had a hobby. He said his brother liked to play golf, and he felt like that was a sissy sport, to go and chase a ball with a stick. He said, I like to hunt and fish, and he thinks I'm an idiot because of that. They were two different types of personalities. They had two different types of sports and activities that they had, but they had a hobby that they could go and they could relax their mind. There was nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you spend all winter in a tree stand, your wife and children wonder what you look like and if you're ever going to come home. Sometimes we need to spend a little time at home, make sure the atmosphere is right there. Create an atmosphere in our own home. Oh, we want to go and we want to witness to the world and we want to win all these people at work and all these things. That's wonderful. You should do that. But make sure your own home's in order first. He comes in, he takes this apron, he begins to wash dishes, and his wife's standing there crying and upset, and he just kind of lays his hand over on her, you know, and pats her, and what she didn't know is he's standing there praying for her, you know, as he does this, and he begins to sing some gospel songs. He said, oh, honey, he said, there was a dress I saw in the window downtown the other day. I thought, oh, my, it would look so nice on you, and my, why don't we get in the car and take the kiddies down and get them a bite to eat and go by and see if that dress is still there. I'd like to buy it. She said, oh, do you think the store would still be open? He said, oh, I think they would. And he said, before you knew it, the entire atmosphere in the home had changed. And the children weren't fighting over toys anymore. They were playing together. And his wife wasn't crying anymore. She was smiling. Why? Because he walked into this situation and he created the right kind of atmosphere. Amen. Let me read it again to you. He said, and try this at your home. So you brothers, I know sometimes you come in tired. I know sometimes you've worked all day and you don't feel like dealing with a lot of things. But why don't you babysit those kids for about 3 days? And then see how quick you're ready to go back and just work your heart out. Watch those kids for about 3 days and let her go on vacation. And you'll be saying, oh my, I'm going to be at work early this morning. I'm going to shock my boss. He's going to have a heart attack and die. I'm going to be there 10 minutes early, sitting at my desk, ready to go with my lunch in my hand. And oh my, I just can't wait to get back to work. And you'll realize a little bit of the stress that they go through and that it is a job.
Amen.
Create an atmosphere in your home. Expectations 1954. He said, what is it? It's creating an atmosphere. Hallelujah. Love in 1957, he says, and if you'll learn to love and to be kind to everybody, you mean not just my family, not just the people at Church of the Open Door, not just my best buddy that I like to go fishing with. If you'll learn to love and to be kind to everybody and to be gentle, have patience, it'll even make your home life different. It'll make your associations different. God will honor you. He says, now I've tried it. He's not just up there talking. He's speaking from experience. Love, 1957 again. He says, now the only thing you have to change the situation, if that can be done in the home, it can be done in a church.
Amen.
That's not just the pro. That can be the con too. You can come in with a bad attitude and, well, bless God, I'm going to line so-and-so out after service tonight. And you can just have as much a negative as an effect as somebody that got here 30 minutes early and was praying and seeking God to do something in the service. You create an atmosphere around you.
Amen.
You create an atmosphere around you. He said if it can be done in the home, it can be done in a church. Now, I appreciate it because I feel like, you know, 99.999% of the church is behind me and pulling with me instead of pulling against me. I appreciate that. That makes the church go along nice. But you want to see the church continue to move along nice. You stay in prayer for your brothers and sisters. Even when you hear through the grapevine, oh, they said something that hurt my feelings. Well, by the time it got told five different times between you and them, it might have been different than what they said. Anyhow, why don't you go to that person and ask them? Oh, I don't like confrontations. Okay, so you like bitterness.
Amen.
Oh, I couldn't go talk to that person. Yeah, I'd be so embarrassed. Oh, so you'd rather have malice in your heart than be a little embarrassed to go and approach them about something they might have said. You better get that thing out of your heart one way or another.
Amen.
You want to see the church keep moving in the right direction. You come in an atmosphere, looking for God to do something, looking for God to heal somebody, looking for God to speak to somebody's situation, looking for the service just to be, oh my, one of the best services we've ever had. And then when we get past that one, come the next service expecting that one to even be better. God can continue to work when we come in that type of an atmosphere.
Yes,
an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of praise. Not an atmosphere to lift Brother Nathan up and show what a great something he is. No, to lift Jesus Christ up.
Amen.
To keep Jesus Christ and him crucified before the people. To keep his love and his mercy and his saving grace and the baptism of the Holy Ghost before the people. Oh my, you think God's done some things? If we can just keep that attitude and keep coming to church with those kind of expectations, you haven't seen nothing yet. If that can be done in the home, it can be done in a church. It can be done in a nation. It could be done in the whole world. It's the atmosphere that counts. You remember when he was in Finland there, we touched on it briefly earlier in the service, that little dead boy was hit by the car there. And when the little boy was raised to life, as had been seen in a vision years before, and Jack Moore standing there had it written in the back of his Bible, the details of the prophecy of the vision. Here this little boy raised from the dead on the side of the road, his legs broken and his ankles twisted around, his shoe and his socks thrown off and hit by the car going about 60 miles an hour down through there, battered and broken and bloody. And it was the scene, I'm sure, was a mess. And he said in a few moments, there wasn't one bone broken in his body, standing up perfectly normal. When God does something, he does it right. When God called you to be a Christian, he didn't call you to be a halfway Christian. He called you to go all the way with the Lord's despised few. When God heals you, he doesn't just, oh, he may do it gradually, but when he gets done healing you, he's not just going to heal you halfway. He'll heal you all the way. When God delivers you, oh, it may be a process. You might not get delivered all completely at once. It may be this that leaves and then that that leaves, and the desire for this over here starts to get smaller, and the desire over here for this begins to get weaker, and it may be a process, but when God delivers you, he delivers you completely.
Amen.
Amen. God raised this little boy from the dead. He stood there, and Brother Bram said he looked around, and the Finns and the Russian soldiers begin to put their arms around one another and weep, call each other brother. He said, if God can do something like that, he said, if the love and power of the Holy Ghost will make a Finn soldier put his arm around a Russian soldier, he said, it can end any war. It can reconcile any trouble. What is it? Letting the Holy Ghost create an atmosphere around you. You say, oh my, you just don't understand the situation in my family. This one is so upset, and you just don't know some of the history and things. They could never come around and shake my hand and hug my neck again. You just don't know the power of God.
Amen.
Oh my, some of these churches, this one divided and fighting that one, and this one throwing stones against the wall, and that one throwing stones over the wall. It seems like there's no hope in sight. Oh, you just don't know Jesus the way that I do.
Amen.
Amen. He's a reconciler. He's a restorer. He's a mender of broken hearts. Testimony, 1953. He says, this lady's in the prayer line. He says, you believe, lady? All right. Let's you and I talk just a moment. Then if you're a believer, I believe that's the truth. You have a wonderful atmosphere, but you're suffering. Here she is sick. She's suffering. She's in pain, but she's standing in the prayer line. But he acknowledges, you have a wonderful atmosphere. Most of us, I'll use me for an example, you know, because I'm sure the rest of you are angels. Most of us, when we're sick and we're suffering and we're hurting, we don't have a very good atmosphere around us. Don't amen too loud, honey. We don't want to be touched. We don't want to be looked at. We don't want to fellowship. We don't want to shake nobody's hand. We don't want to smile. We just want to take our medicine and pull our cover over our head and go to bed. But this lady standing in the line, you're suffering, but you have a wonderful atmosphere around you. God help us.
Amen.
The supernatural, 1956, get in the atmosphere of it. It's not afraid what the world says, because while they're talking with the world, they're still in another atmosphere. You're talking to the sinner, but you're not in his atmosphere. And you're in such a glorious and shrouded in, then Shekinah glory all around you, and the veils of the world hid. You can talk to the worldly women or the worldly men or whoever it is and still live in that Shekinah glory, telling them of a loving God that's raised from the dead. You say, oh, you might, the men at my work, the way they talk, their mouth, and the way they act and things, all my, by the time I'm ready to leave work, I'm about ready to punch one of them in the face. You don't have to live in their atmosphere. You can't leave this world until God takes you home. You're going to come in contact with people that are in a different atmosphere than you. When you go down to Walmart and the lady's ringing you up in the line and she looks like she's about ready to eat nails because her boyfriend left her last night and she's not smiling and she's not happy and she's just shoving your milk and your eggs down so hard you're afraid she's going to bust it all. She's living in a different atmosphere than you. These people out here that cut you off on the road and give all kinds of hand signals that look like they're trying to tell you to seal second or something, but that's not what they're really meaning. When they're giving you all kinds of motions and cursing and rolling down the window and honking and about to run you over, and you think, goodness gracious, that guy looks like he's about to have an aneurysm because, you know, he felt like it was his turn at the stop sign. You have to remember, he's living in a different atmosphere than you are.
Amen.
People that any little thing at work sets them off and they're about ready to throw a chair through a window. And you just sit there and you think, Lord, I don't know why they decided to do this at work, but I know you've got it under control. What is it? They're living in a different atmosphere than you. You're in the same geographic location. You're in the same maybe building, room, desk, whatever it would be, but they're in a different atmosphere than you are. And he said, you're talking to the sinner, but you're not in his atmosphere. Why? Because you're in the Shekinah. That's why we come to church on Wednesday nights, a lot of us, so that we can go back to work on Thursday and still be in that Shekinah. We get a little recharge. Lord, I'm about to lose my sanctification if I don't get to church. I got to get prayed up. I got to get studied up. I got to get something from you tonight so that I can go back out there on Thursday again and live in that atmosphere. So that I can stay in that atmosphere and that Shekinah. I need something from you, Lord, so that I don't get in their atmosphere, but I bring my own atmosphere with me. The token, 1963, he says, then apply the token in prayer with consideration, with believing. Apply it with such love and so forth till you know it's going to take. It's going to take place, that's all. Apply it with confidence, believing it's going to help. When you talk to that child, when you talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to this loved one, believe that it's going to help. It's more than just waving a book from 1964 over them and saying, I apply the token. You've got to believe that it's going to help.
All right.
It's more than just saying some words. You've got to create an atmosphere to where they actually want what you've got. When you talk to that child, when you talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to this loved one, believe that it's going to help. Just stand there and say, Lord, I've claimed them. They're mine. I'm getting them for you, Lord. Apply it and create that atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it, see. My wife was telling a sister a few weeks ago, she was concerned about some family members and different ones. She said, just be salty. Just be salty. I don't even know if the sister knew what she meant, but she was talking about where Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth.
Right.
But if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it going to do? If you go around looking like you're ready to eat buckshot or something, the atmosphere that you're in isn't an atmosphere that anybody's going to want to enter into, let alone somebody that's seeking out here for God, somebody that's in need of God, that's in need of some love. You know, I stood right out here in this parking lot a few months ago when we purchased the building. I felt sorry for the people that was leaving. They had to sell the building because they had went from about 150 people when they purchased the building back in the 70s and built it to about a dozen people. And one of the ladies that was kind of the financial ramrod of the thing, she was asking me out there, she said, "I don't understand it." She said, "What is the secret to your success? What is the secret to your growth? You came from two people in a home. And we look at the parking lot when we leave and all the people coming in. What is the secret to your success?" I said, "Ma'am, I learned early on that a little bit of love goes a long ways. A little bit of love goes a long ways. People can tell whether you're faking or not, whether you're putting it on or not. You can't go out there with the Joel Osteen smile and, you know, God loves you. When you see that big of a smile and you see how much those teeth must have cost, you realize he's wanting something more than a handshake. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than being in it for the money. It's got to be more than being in it for the numbers or the popularity. It's got to be a love, a compassion for the people. I had a sister stand out here in the parking lot a couple weeks ago, and she was raised around the message. She'd been away from the message for a while, but she's been to many different message churches in her life growing up. And she told me, she said, "Brother Nathan, I've never been to a church where the people have so much love one for another." I thought, what a testimony. What a testimony. Where the people have so much love. People are starving for love. Amen. There's people at a lot of message churches, they don't even know what it's like to feel love from the ministry or the leadership or from the people that they walk out in the parking lot and see. Oh, if they're in their clique or their financial status group or whatever it is, they can probably get some fellowship. But real, true, genuine love, whether you're wearing bibbed overalls or whether you're wearing a tuxedo suit, whether you're driving a jalopy or whether you're driving a Rolls Royce, whatever it is, just that love. Good to see you, brother. We missed you Wednesday night. Where was you? The Holy Spirit was moving and we was kicking the devil while we had him down. We sure missed you being there. That love and compassion one to another. It's an atmosphere. You can't work it up. You can't make it up. It's got to be a life that's lived through you. Expectations, 1955, he said, if you want to get a great healing service here tonight, let's have a great atmosphere of belief. Believing you're going to be healed. See, now no matter how real Jesus would be here at the platform or out there, he couldn't heal you unless the atmosphere is right for your healing. You mean Jesus could be here? His presence, his Holy Spirit, be up here anointing on the platform and even out there in the congregation, and you sit there and not be healed because the atmosphere isn't right for your healing? You say, "Oh, I just don't know about that, Brother Nathan." Well, what about when Jesus went to his own hometown in St. Matthew chapter 13, and it said he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief? It wasn't that he didn't have the power to heal them. It was that they weren't in the atmosphere to receive healing. He walked right by that man at the gate called Beautiful. No doubt he walked right in and out of the Beautiful gate over and over and over going into the temple. And the man crippled sat there, lame from his mother's womb, and he sat there. Why? He wasn't in the atmosphere to receive his healing yet. But one day there came a couple people down the road. They'd just come out of the upper room, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give it unto you." What was it? He had finally reached an atmosphere of faith where he could receive his healing. Do you now believe 1955? Now let me tell you something. Each man that's born again with the Spirit of God in him is a miniature creator. Now that might shake you a little, but that's the truth. We're in the image of God. God is a creator. That's the reason that you can believe that God could heal a person. Because God is in you, and God made this world. He just spoke it, and his word became material. Amen. The very ground that you're sitting on is the word of God made manifest. If he didn't, where did he get it? See, he just spoke it and it turned into existence. He believed in his own word. And if a man's born of the Spirit of God, he's an offspring of God. And that part of God is in him, and he believes every word that God says will materialize, see? And so that makes him a part of God. The Holy Spirit in the man makes him a part of God.
Amen.
An amateur creator tonight. You can create an atmosphere. You can create an atmosphere of love. You can create an atmosphere of healing. You can create an atmosphere of worship. Or you can create an atmosphere of bitterness, of rejection, of malice, of pride, of envy. It's in your lap tonight.
Amen.
He's given you that power to be that type of a creator, the atmosphere that you create around you. There's something in it that if we're a part of God from the beginning and an attribute of him, he said he believes every word that God says will materialize. So if he said, by my stripes you're healed, the real true believer says, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but I'm healed.
Amen.
I don't know when it will produce itself. I don't know how it will produce itself, but I'm healed because he said so.
That's right.
Not because I deserved it, not because I earned it, not because of my good works, not because I listened to a certain amount of tapes this week, or I prayed a certain amount of hours, or I read a certain amount of scriptures. If we're going to go back to that, the Muslims and the Catholics will have us all beat on works. Not because of anything I did, but because of what he did.
Amen.
Because he said so, I'm healed. Because he said so, it's a finished work. I don't have to work it up. I don't have to make it up. I don't have to think it up. It's a finished work. He said it. And because he said it, I believe his word will materialize. Just as the earth that we're standing on. You think about everything that goes into just keeping this earth in orbit and it not just spinning off somewhere into oblivion. All the design and all the intellects that was behind it, as we talked about the watch on Sunday, shaking it in a bag and it all being put together and keeping time and all that, and thinking that that could just happen randomly. How much more our earth spinning in its cycle, and the moon having an effect on it, taking the tides in and out, and different things that we recognize by science and by the word of God. All these things that he put into place in the very earth that you're standing on was created by the spoken word. If he can do all that, how much more can he heal our physical bodies?
Amen.
How much more if he said that when the tokens applied, just as those down in Egypt, didn't matter how good you was, didn't matter how pretty you was, didn't matter how wealthy you was, get behind the lintel and the doorpost that had the blood on it.
Amen.
As long as the tokens applied, you were okay. If it was good for them in Egypt, if it was good for Rahab in her house, it doesn't matter how old they are, Rahab, it doesn't matter how young they are, doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter what they've said, doesn't matter how far in sin they've stooped, get them in the house, Rahab. I'll do the rest. You just get them in the house. He's the same God tonight. If his word said that then, it's the same tonight. Apply the token. Don't give up on your loved ones. Apply the token. Maybe you got a financial need. You don't know where the next penny is coming from. He said he was our provider. He said he was a present help in time of trouble. Maybe you've got a circumstance on your job. Maybe you've got a circumstance at school, a bully, or somebody that's trying to get you in trouble, whatever it is. He's a present help in time of trouble. Let me read it to you one more time. The very ground that you're sitting on is the word of God made manifest. If he didn't, where did he get it? See, he just spoke it into existence. Spoke it and it turned into existence. He believed in his own word. And if a man's born of the Spirit of God, he's an offspring of God. And that part of God is in him, and he believes every word that God says will materialize.
Amen.
If the musicians would come tonight, every word that God said will materialize. It may not materialize the way that you've got it all planned out in your head and the way you've all drawn it out on a chart. I think it's going to be this and I think it's going to be that. Many times God goes right around all that, all of our intellects and all of our planning, and he does it another way. But he'll make his word come to pass. His word will materialize. He'll do it in his own time, in his own way, and it'll be better than any way you could have planned it or any idea that you could have come up with. God's ways are better than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. Whenever he does something, he does it right. Amen. He does all things well. His word will materialize. You just hold on to it. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on the promise. Don't stagger at the promise through unbelief. We're supposed to be the children of Abraham. Abraham's seed. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was unwavering, knowing that he that gave the promise was able to bring it to pass. Amen. God will make a way. Even when it seems like there is no way, he's able to make a way. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together.
I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oh, if I live a holy life, shun the
that tonight. Let's sing it again.
I know the Lord will make a way.
Oh, even when it seems like there is no way.
I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Sing it this way together.
I know the Lord has made a way for me.
Make it personal to you tonight.
I know the Lord has made a way for me.
Let's sing it that way again.
I know the Lord has made a way for me. I know the Lord has made a way for me. If I live a holy life, shine.
Bow our heads together as they're playing that softly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're depending on you tonight. Lord, we're depending on you to make a way where there is no way. We're depending on you to be our rock, to be our shield, to be our strength. We're depending on you to be our way maker, Father, where it seems that there is no way. We're looking for you to be our provider, Father, even when it seems like there's no provision left. We're looking for you to restore situations, Lord, even if it seems like there is no restoration. We're looking for you to bring back wayward loved ones. We're looking for you to heal sick bodies that the doctors have given up on. Lord, we're looking for you to move in a mighty way for your people. Lord, we know that you make a way, even when it seems like there is no way. Oh, Lord, We love you tonight. We have confidence in you. Lord, we're depending on your word tonight. Lord, you spoke the word. We're not responsible for that. Lord, we're not responsible to go out and have to bring a new message or a new Bible. Lord, you've brought us the word. We're just depending on you. We have confidence in you, Father, that you'll manifest your word. Lord, we've seen you move in so many ways. We've seen you heal us when we were sick. We've seen you deliver us. We've seen you fill us when we was empty. We've seen you encourage us when we was discouraged. Lord, we have no reason to doubt you now. Lord, as I remember Brother Branham saying there on the 20th century prophet film, he said, why it'd be a sin to believe. After all we've seen, after all we've heard, after all we've been a witness to that you've done, to doubt that you could do it for us, Lord, it'd be a sin to disbelieve you now. Look, we're depending on you tonight, Father. We're depending on you to make a way, Father. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to come take control. Lord, we give you the wheel tonight, Father. We're tired of trying to make it work on our own. We're tired of trying to drive our own ship, Father. Lord, we want you to lead. We want you to guide. We want you to be in complete control of our vessel, Father. Oh, Lord, we want you to be the pilot of our ship. Lord, we're depending on you for all that we have, Lord. For all that we have need of. For all that we'll ever face or come in contact with, Lord. We're depending on you to get us through. We love you tonight, Father. Lord, we're expecting from you, Lord. We're expecting healings. We're expecting miracles. Lord, not because we're worthy, but because you promised in your word. Lord, we believe that your word will be made manifest. Lord, the different needs that are on the hearts of your people, Lord, may you minister to those needs. May you begin to move mountains. Lord, even where it seems like it's impossible, Lord, may you come on the scene. Take complete control. Help us to live in that atmosphere that the world knows nothing of. Lord, it's something that they're yearning for, and hungering for, thirsting for. Lord, help us to live in that atmosphere where they can see a real genuine love, a real genuine care for God's humanity. A dying humanity out here struggling and trying to quench their holy thirst for things of the world. Help us, Lord, to live a life in front of them where they could see an atmosphere like they've never experienced before. Lord, may we live a life that would make them thirsty for you in their life, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. together. Just have faith in the promise. We'll have faith in God. In this atmosphere of healing, in this atmosphere of worship, we'll have faith in God. Church, stand together tonight. Amen. You have faith in Him. Amen. Well, we sang this song Sunday night, and I've been wanting to sing it again. So, amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over.
keep it.
still provides. Oh, I feel it in my soul. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Oh, I feel it in my soul. It's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, he said in his word, he'd be right by our side. He'd be right by our side. He'd be right by our side. Oh, he said in his word, he'd be right by our side. Oh, the Holy Ghost is right by our side. Oh, it's that Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. Gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside. Gonna study war no more. Oh, ain't gonna study war no more. 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 Study. I'm gonna try on my long white robe down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna try on my long white robe down by the riverside. Gonna study war no more. Oh, ain't gonna study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more. Oh, I'm gonna lay down my trials down by
Oh, let's try it this way tonight. Oh, I'm gonna lay down my sickness down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my sickness down by the riverside. Gonna study. Oh, what about your weakness? Oh, I'm gonna lay down my weakness down by the riverside. Down by the riverside, gonna study war no more. Oh, ain't gonna study war no more. Glory, won't study war no more. Oh, ain't gonna study war no more. Study war no more. Ain't gonna study. Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around, oh, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around, oh, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around, oh, walk around my bedside now. Oh, and when I need healing, walk around, when I Jesus, I want to bless that wonderful name of my Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of my Jesus. It's like no other name I know. Oh, there's power in the name. I know there's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the name of my Jesus. He's like no other name I know. I want to bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, there's healing in the name of Jesus. God bless you tonight. You can be dismissed if you'd like to. Oh, let's bless that wonderful name. I want to bless that wonderful name, Jesus. Oh, bless that. I
It's not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh yes, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, it's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, yes, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, yes, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh yes, it's me, me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh yes, it's me, me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord. Driven on a restless sea of time, somber skies, howling tempests, oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, sing it by and by, when the morning comes. Of the things that life demands, one of food, one of shelter, thirsty hills, barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, oh, He will understand it better by and by. Oh, sing it by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all stand it better by and by. Oh, trials dark on every hand, seems we cannot understand.
all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, or we'll understand it better by and by. Hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed. Then we wonder why this test, when we've tried to do our best. Oh, but we'll understand it better by and by. Thirsty hills and barren lands, but we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. Understand all the ways our God would lead us to that blessed promised land, but we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better.
Can't repay from my heart. I will.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. From